situation, my situation, what about trying to get some of these county places into the city and vice versa? I know
we need to. I mean, if you look at the map. The map looks like an ink blot test.
It is.
It really does. You know, it looks like it's amoeba gone bad, you know, if you got hit an acid or something. So, I mean, I don't know what the answer is as far as consolidating it. I don't know if there's a bunch of annexation that needs to be done. But the problem is, it's a twofold problem. If you try to start rounding out the city, then you're bringing more stuff into the wastewater treatment plant that's not keeping up now. You know, and you know, because if you bring them into the city and you charge them city taxes, then you have to give them city services,
right?
You know, which is fine if you get the wastewater treatment plant to the point where it can handle it. Right now, it can't handle what it's got, let alone more.
Well, here's the thing, and this is something I have personal experience in. The employer I used to work for, is interested in developing the Hobbs Road plant next to the stadium.
Okay.
In fact, I had to do a lot of drawings that showed the city trying to bring a sewer and a sanitary and water line out that way just to get
the stadium.
And then it had to be annexed into the city. That little plot of land that wasn't part of the city, and they had to do a land swap and everything. It never did get developed, but someday I'd like to see it get developed. So
right.
Now what do you think would be a good way to get more development into the city? I mean, besides the national economy improving, which we really can't do a whole lot about.
We can't fix that. Getting business in Maryland, period, needs to have some work done at the state level. You know, because there's, I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard the joke nickname for Maryland.
What's that?
If you can dream it, we can tax it.
And, yeah.
I mean, you know, and that's very close to the truth. I mean, you know, we are trying to out California, California. Mm-hmm. And we're doing a pretty damn good job of it.
Yeah, but here, you know, the other thing is, okay, we are aware of that, but how much of an advocate do you think you can be to go to Annapolis or go to our elected official and say, look, you need to do something about this. We're at a competitive disadvantage to Delaware. We're at a competitive disadvantage to Virginia. What are you, you know, you may not be able to do something sitting on city council, but you do have a little bit of a bully pulpit if you win.
Absolutely. And I am, you know, I do know several of our state legislators. And, you know, I would certainly be willing to go to bat for the city at the state level to try to, A, get funds into it, B, try to get regulations rolled back to where you can, get some businesses in the area. Because, I mean, I was a contractor, and I talked a little about this at the forum.
Mm-hmm.
I was a building contractor for years. And for me to go in, I went into Dover and did a huge job. And it was so simple, it wasn't even funny. To do the same thing in Salisbury, or Ocean City for that matter, or any of the other cities down here, you got to have a county license, and you have a city license, and you got to have, yet to do home improvements in Maryland, you have to have a Maryland home improvement license, and you have to definitely have a city license, okay? And I think there might even be one at the county level. So there's three levels. I may be wrong on the county level, though.
But
there's at least city and state.
But in essence, if the state says you're okay to do it, you would think that the county and city would follow suit and say, well, okay, you're sticking with the state.
Right.
There's no reason you can't do city and county. The only thing I see that as is revenue grab.
Right. And it's, you know, to an extent, it is a means of revenue. It's also a means of tracking. Okay, I think that was the original logic that the cities in Maryland, and here again, I'm not picking on Salisbury specifically, but they followed suit. I think the licensing was more to track who was working in the city, and it secondarily become a revenue stream.
Yeah, it's obviously it's not a big revenue stream.
I mean, it's
only a few thousand dollars a year, and especially now that building permits are so flat. I mean, there's no building going on.
No building going on at all.
And you know, a lot of people I heard at the forum said, "Well, part of the reason there's no building going on is because of the crime issue in the city."
Well,
now, I don't know if that's the whole thing of it, but it is a key issue.
I mean, the crime in the city is definitely an issue, don't get me wrong. I mean, that's a big issue.
Yeah, everybody I talked to has made it their number one issue.
It's a big issue for a lot of reasons, and bringing businesses in is one of them. Now, I don't know that having the worst landlord of the week on the city website's probably a good idea either.
No, because that's a business.
Who looks at that website? You and I don't look at that website.
I don't even know what website it is. I make my living on the internet. Okay. So
people that want to come to Salisbury look at that website. And what's the first thing they see is the worst landlord of the week. That's not really good advertising for the city. If you want to put something like that on there, put the best renter, you know, the best agency.
Well, I think it should be balanced, because you can't just blow sunshine up people's skirts and say this is nirvana on earth here.
Oh no,
you got to. I mean, just be accurate with what you portray. I mean, there are bad parts of Salisbury. There's great parts of Salisbury too.
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, some people think that, you know, let's put it this way. I moved down here to take a job. But the reason I liked the area, and I moved here, I could have jobs in Las Vegas, I was interviewing with, in Jacksonville, Florida, Phoenix, Arizona. I almost took the job in Phoenix, I took this one. The key thing for me, this is the only interview I could go to in person. I drove 10 hours to do it.
Right.
And I came down here and I said, I like this area. It's a nice,
it's a great
rural
area.
It's a rural area.
It's a great area to live.
Yeah. And that's what we need to work on. The only disadvantage I see as far as industry and business moving here, aside from the state and the regulation, is just the infrastructure is kind of poor as far as transportation.
Right, and we've gone great strides with the bus system right here and this kind of thing. That's improved tremendously because we used to have a bus system in Salisbury. It went belly up. Then we came back with the short transit with the three lower counties or four lower counties, whatever. Is Dorchester still in that?
I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head.
I know Somerset, Worcester, and Waukamaville are. I can't remember if Dorchester's still in there or not. But that's greatly improved, you know, being able to get around with that. But it's still not the total answer. But the point, and this is a point that I was trying to make the other day, is with the people that can't afford better housing, or you know, higher priced housing, you know, when you try to regulate the rental agencies or the you know, the landlords, when you're trying to regulate them and trying to get rid of the non-compliant stuff, you know, there's certain non-compliant stuff that just needs to be gotten rid of. I mean, it's just junk, you know. But there's also stuff that, you know, needs to be worked with. You know, and I'm not, you know, not, I don't think you can just draw a stroke.
The argument against the city's proposed ordinance is that people wouldn't have a record of when these improvements were made, because this could have happened 50 years ago before they ever bought the house.
Right.
Now, the poster child for the poster child for those who don't like the neighborhood housing initiative is the lady that bought the property with the garage that she wanted to convert into an apartment. The city said it was okay until it got to a particular point. They said, no, you can't do that. I was like, wait a minute, I bought this property intending to do that, and now I'm stuck. Well, look at all the people that have bought houses. I mean, granted, a lot of them are out of town. I mean, there's probably a significant number of people that live out of town and own houses here. But the thing is, there's a lot of people that live in town, and that's the second source of income for them.
Sure.
they're the ones that are going to have their land values cut if they can't do anything, or if they have to go back and fix everything that was done over the last 50 years.
Right. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And that's why I said that, you know, you can't just broad stroke it and kill an entire industry. You got to figure out a way to, you know, to ease into it and you know, regulate it to the point where it's, you know, bring stuff up to code or bring it up to snuff. I mean, there's certain things that just drive me crazy. On my house, okay, in the last 2 years, I've put all the new replacement windows in, put a new roof on, new gutter, wrapped everything outside with metal, and put an all new siding on. Okay? I spent a fair chunk of change on my house. Okay, my house now looks immaculate. Okay? I no more got it done than I get a nuisance violation.
Oh.
They want me to paint my shed.
Yeah. You haven't caught up to that yet.
Now, I assure you, my shed was a piece of shit. Okay? It needed painting. Okay, or, you know, it was a piece of crap when I bought it 13 years ago, and it's still a piece of crap, but I'd slap some paint on it and make it look better. But, you know, it just absolutely irked me that I've, you know, spent these thousands and thousands of dollars to fix my house up, and I no more, I mean, within a week of getting it done,
they nickel and dime you on the shed.
I get a friggin' nuisance violation on my shed.
And then you could probably walk around your neighborhood and find 15 other nuisance violations.
Or drive across Church Street and see streets of houses that, you know, with, you know, stuff falling off the houses, windows busted out, you know, roofs half done, you know, just stuff that, you know, that you need to be over there taken care of. And I'm not just picking on Church Street. I mean, it's all over the city.
There's people that say that about one of your opponents, so.
Yeah. Oh, really?
At his place, so. But I'm not going to go there. It's just a matter of.
But it's just aggravating.
It's kind of picayune.
Yeah.
Picayune.
It's aggravating to have done that much work and then get nailed for a nuisance violation when there's. I mean, sure, did it need painting? Absolutely. I have no doubt. But, you know, probably a little low on my list at that point in time.
Oh, yeah. You put all the money in that.
The other point that I have a big problem with is I happen to be two houses downstream of a lift pump. Now, when I bought my house, I had a bath and three quarters. Mm-hmm. The three-quarter bath was in my basement. Okay? The city has trouble keeping that lift pump working. Well, guess what? When that lift pump goes off, guess where it goes?
Your basement.
My basement. Okay? So I've had my basement full of their sewage several times.
Mm.
Now, the solutions were put a backflow preventer in, which meant I was having to dig up my entire front yard down to about 12, 15 feet at my expense and put a backflow preventer in, or eliminate the bathroom. So I eliminated the bathroom. You know, I didn't want to spend the money because at the time I had trees out there. I had old growth trees there.
Right.
Now they've since had to be taken out because of carpenter ants. They killed them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time I didn't want to do that because I didn't want to kill the trees.
Right.
And which turned out dying anyway, but you know, so I eliminated the bathroom. Now I've decreased my resale value because they can't keep the lift pump running.
That's true.
You know, so I mean that's kind of a real bugaboo for me. You know, so the whole wastewater treatment plant thing is definitely high on my list.
And that's the key. I mean, that's the 800-pound elephant you guys have to deal with because
exactly.
It's got to be done.
And to be quite frank, I don't know what they put in there. I don't know what they put in there, why they put it in there, or what's wrong with it, okay? My understanding is that the reason it's not working correctly is something to do with the temperature of the water that comes into it. At certain times of the year, it doesn't work efficiently because
it's too cold, probably.
Yeah, that's what I'm understanding. So something needs to be done to figure that out, and I don't know what that solution is. I haven't looked at it yet. I don't, you know, I haven't sat down with the specs, and you know, and I'm a construction guy. I can sit down and I can understand what the hell they're talking about, but I need somebody to sit down and, you know, I don't know what they put in there.
Right.
I know where they put it.
You may want to sit down with the department head and say, look, this is what...
Explain to me what the heck they did.
And then,
right, and what do we need to do?
I'll give you my 2 cents on what maybe...
Tell me what you got to do to fix it, then I'll see what we can do to try to get it to a workable... I mean, it might be as simple as putting heaters in, you know, in the lines to heat the water as it goes through the plant. It might be something that friggin' simple. You know, it may be something where we have to put in circulating pumps to circulate the water to make it heated up. It may not be a matter of heating it as opposed to agitating it to make it, you know, so it can be treated better. I don't know. I mean, there's some different solutions.
Right, but when the city can't even keep its lip station working properly.
Right.
What do you expect out of a huge treatment plant?
You know, I can't flush the toilet and take a shower at the same time, you know. Mm. You know, you get one or the other, you know, you can't do both. Oh, you want to drink a water downstairs while you're taking a shower? Forget that.
You get gray water, that wouldn't be good.
Yeah, that's no, you just don't get any water.
Yeah.
You know, if
I think I'd rather get no water than gray water, to be honest.
But literally, if you're taking a shower in my house, if you're taking a shower and somebody turns a faucet on anywhere else, you're done. You just lost your water. You know, so there's no water pressure in my area at all.
So obviously that's something you're going to look at improving.
You know, that's obviously high on my list of things to do. And, you know, Church Street's not that far away. The apartments next door are not that far away. Of course, they're not in the city, but they're right there. You know, I get a lot of foot traffic in that neighborhood. It's a beautiful neighborhood. It's a great neighborhood. But you do get a lot of foot traffic there and late at night.
Yeah, well, that's because there's people that have to go places. But
and I have had my house broken into.
You have or have not?
Have. Middle of friggin' daytime.
Mm.
You know, and she broke into my house, and they caught her at the other end of the street. City police called me and told me that my house had been broken into before. I knew my house had been broken into.
I told them, hey, I broke into that one, dude.
Right.
Just confess the crime.
You know, but they caught her with checks on her person. You know, so it was...
But, so anyway, why should we vote for you?
Why should you vote for me? I am completely non-affiliated with any group. I'm not part of the Landlords Association. I'm not part of the Canyon Avenue strip that everybody bitches about so much, you know, which is, you know, whatever. I mean, Camden, there's a lot of people from Camden Avenue because Camden Avenue is a big part of the friggin' city. But Camden Avenue North Division, or, you know, Division Street. But you know, I'm not affiliated with anybody. I'm just a single guy.
You're just a citizen. Step up
and try to do something right. I do have a construction background that, you know, gives, and I've worked for engineers. So I work for Hines Engineering, and you know, so I can, you know, I got a little bit of leg up on how to, on the technical side of the business. I can look at some technical data and actually understand it a little more than some others. And now, I don't have a college education. I got a high school education, but I'm very well read, and I have a wealth of practical experience.
Well, that's good.
And,
I would rather have somebody that went to the University of Common Sense and graduated summa cum laude than all the book learning in the world.
I assure you, I spend a lot of time explaining vocabulary words to many college students or college graduates. You know, and I don't do it. I don't use big words to demean people. I just happen to have a very good vocabulary, and I use it.
Well, there you go. But I have to. My mind to work.
Right, but people go, "What the hell is it? What did you just say?" Oh wait. And it's something, you know, something I don't, it's like you say cul-de-sac instead of dead end. You know, well, a cul-de-sac is a dead end. I mean,
that's right.
And, you know, it's just the way I talk, I guess. I mean, you know, but I'm a graduate from Bennett. You know, I graduated from Bennett in 76. My wife graduated from Bennett in 75. My oldest son graduated from YI. My other son's a senior there this year.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, we're homegrown folk. You know, my wife grew up across the street from Pinehurst Elementary. And I think she lived on Cheney for a while, but since I've been there, she was on Pinehurst. You know, so, I mean, we're homegrown folk. And, damn, that one'll get you. That one'll get you.
No, I knew what it was. That was my phone. Okay.
But I've owned businesses, so I know what it is to make a payroll, what it is to, you know, employ people, how to unemploy people, and how you know, what kind of detriment that can be. Can I have another cup of coffee when you get a chance?
Sure.
You want a beer? Okay. Where I've worked for the county for so many years as a supervisor, I've been middle management, and I have the ability to see the management side of the business and the employee side of the business, and the give and take, and where you have to, you know, sometimes you have to side with the management and say, okay, guys, you just got to get screwed on this one. These guys need this to operate. And sometimes you go, guys, I know what you want to do, but I got to appease these guys this time, you know. And I think on the council, I can do the same thing. I can look at, you know, whether it's Jim making a suggestion. If Jim has a good suggestion, let's go with it. If Jim makes a lousy suggestion, I can dig my heels in and bang my head on the wall with the best of them. You know, if I don't, you know, but to me, what I'm out there for is to do what's best for Salisbury. Not to do what's best for Jim Ireton, or not to do best what's for Terry, or me, or you know each individual person, or Camden Avenue, or you know, landlords, or you know, I'm looking to do what's best for Salisbury as a whole.
All right.